This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And just to give you a heads up, the governor's going to be joining us late. And Guy's aware of the fact that he will be coming in at some point during the hour. And we appreciate the accommodation, Guy. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And it's reasonable. I guess the governor does get to bump me.
Absolutely. Chairman Powell makes his remarks at the annual meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Somewhat interesting. Not exactly sure what he was saying, but it looks like he was trying to cover all the bases.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan would talk for 45 minutes, make cryptic remarks, and at the end would say, if you understood what I said, I didn't make it as unclear as I wished. Let me start over.
Okay, I'm glad that your reaction was similar to mine, because I read the entire speech a couple of times over the weekend. I was like, wow, I'm not sure exactly what's being said here.
Yeah, the challenge is he's trying to explain how the Fed handles their dual mandate, which is low inflation and stable employment simultaneously. Now, the Fed set up a 2% inflation target. They could easily have set a zero target and said, you know what, stable inflation means no inflation, where prices don't change, but they chose two. And 5 years ago, they said, you know, we've been under two for quite a bit, so we're going to tolerate being above two for a while afterwards. And over the long haul, we'll get back to two. And Chairman Powell said, well, that's sort of happening, but we're sort of not going to do that in the future unless we have to. So that cleared it up for me. What he also said is the labor market is problematic. The labor force is shrinking because of the absence of new immigrants, but demand for labor is also shrinking. And the balance of risk now seems to be more on the labor side than on the inflation side. And so what the markets took from that, and Friday afternoon, all the market indexes went up, treasury yields went down, is, okay, September, we're going to have a rate cut. And I think when you slice through everything, what the chairman is saying is, yeah, we probably will have a rate cut, but I'm nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs with a long tail about inflation. So he's concerned about inflation. He's concerned about unemployment. And his thought is, well, the labor market seems to be the biggest challenge right now, the biggest risk. So we're going to reduce interest rates at the September meeting. Is at least that's a projection, unless we get some real data that shows something different. And the markets are taking that to mean, okay, rates are going to go down. And that may well be the case. I think the estimates on Wall Street are above 80% chance of a 25 basis point rate cut. What's interesting is there had been people talking about a 50 basis point rate cut, and that's totally off the table. Nobody is expecting that right now. So we're looking at probably 25. And the challenge is, a lot of people think, well, if rates get cut in September, mortgage rates will automatically go down. Mortgage rates are based on the 10-year rate. And if the 10-year rate doesn't go down when the short rate goes down, it may not affect mortgage rates at all. And what's concerning is the 30-year rate. It's actually higher now than it was at the beginning of the year and than it was at any time last year. So the 30-year rate is just set by market demand. Fed has nothing to do with that. And so we're looking at a higher 30-year rate, and there's a bit of nervousness that maybe the 10-year rate will follow that same pattern. And even though short rates go down, the 10-year rate may not go down and mortgage rates may not go down.
So let's talk about data for a second, because one of the things that's confusing me is early in his speech, like almost right out, he says tighter immigration policy has led to an abrupt slowdown in labor force growth. It's easy to know about the tighter immigration policy. How does he know what the actual impact is? Because the vast majority of the illegal hiring in this country goes unreported. So how does he know?
Yeah, they rely on surveys. And one of the things the Fed does is they have the different Fed banks, and the different Federal Reserve banks, like the one in Atlanta that handles New Orleans, the chairman and the economist will actually talk to businesses. Periodically, they'll meet with banking groups, and they say, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? And all that information is filtered up to the chairman. Now, this is not actual data, but it is actual information. And to the extent that it's really informed, it does help their decision-making, because they're talking to real businesses. So each of the Fed banks represents a different part of the country. And I think what the Fed bankers are saying in their informal meetings is, look, we're seeing a challenge that a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the farms, a lot of the factories that rely on immigrant labor are really struggling to fill jobs. I mean, there's some jobs that are really tough to fill. The chicken plants, there's not a whole lot of people want to pluck chickens, and they're having a hard time staffing. Same thing with agriculture. Not a lot of people that want to bend over and pick strawberries. It's tough to do. And if you really push the wages high enough to get, normal Americans to do it, most of us couldn't afford to buy strawberries. So that is what's filtering back to him. It's not a data point as much as a opinion and information, but it's information from real people in the field.
Well, it's interesting. So there are just, and I got to imagine people in the listening audience are thinking this. So the Federal Reserve will call company owners, and the company owners will say, look, we're having this labor problem. I'm used to hiring 250 illegals, and I'm not able to do so because of the tighter immigration policy. Are you saying that these business owners, they're actually telling them that?
No, what they're saying is
that 20%, of their workforce is an illegal population?
Most people are clever enough not to tell the government that in so many words. Instead, they say, whereas a year ago we had a steady supply of people applying to be chicken pluckers, now we're seeing a much smaller group of people applying, and we're having real trouble meeting that demand. Nobody wants to say out loud that they're hiring undocumented workers, because there are penalties for employers to do that. But what they're saying,
and the reason I ask that is that there's other data out there that in the agricultural field, right, that greater than 70%, somewhere I think around 78% of the folks actually employed in that field are actually U.S. citizens. And, you know, because I hear this all the time, you know, we got all these jobs that U.S. citizens won't do. But if they're doing three quarters of that economy is, you know, U.S. citizens that are employed there, so that's not necessarily true then, is it?
Well, it's not true that you can't get any Americans to do those jobs. I mean, people go to extremes, but a 20% or a 30% gap really is problematic if you're trying to run a farm, because that means you're having to leave crops unpicked. So filling that last bit is difficult, and the price increases that you'd need to fill it with native-born workers would make you uncompetitive. And that's a challenge, particularly in areas like farming, where grocery prices are very sensitive, and you know, people are pretty careful about what they buy. And at a certain point, they just say, you know what, just not going to buy strawberries. I'll buy some other type of fruit. So it does present a labor problem. And, you know, that's what the chairman's saying, is like the risk on the labor side is shifting and the market is shifting in ways that we can't really measure accurately, but we feel like the balance of risk is more on the labor side than the inflation side at this moment.
Yeah. So when we talk about, obviously, he's very concerned about the GDP growth as well. How does that play into what they're looking at?
Yeah, GDP was negative in the first quarter, positive in the second quarter. Atlanta Fed GDP now is projecting a 2.3% growth in the third quarter. So that's okay, but it's not really where the GDP should be. We should be able to generate 3 to 4% GDP growth. So his feeling is that GDP growth is a little worse. And one of his specific quotes is, the balance of risk appear to be shifting. And then he goes on and says, it's a curious balance that results from a slowing of supply of and demand for workers. Calls that an unusual situation. And then he goes on to say, you know, if these risks materialize, they could quickly form higher layoffs and higher unemployment, which is a little odd because it's coming right behind a smaller supply. So what he's saying in so many words is, I'm afraid GDP growth will stall and maybe be smaller than we expect. And if that's the case, then there will be more layoffs. You know, he didn't specifically talk about AI, but some of the corporate people that were at Jackson Hole in the sideline meeting said AI may reduce demand for entry-level college grads. And that's a factor that they're looking at, too, on their labor market is, you know, what does this do to the recent college graduate demand?
Yeah, and he specifically took time, and appropriately so, to report out the effects of tariffs on consumer prices. And he says it's becoming a lot clearer now that these effects will continue to accumulate over the coming months with high uncertainty about timing and the amounts. But what he's basically saying is it's beginning to reveal itself in consumer pricing.
Yeah, and if you remember, the president has sort of said 15 is going to be the base tariff. And the question is always, well, how much of that will filter into pricing? And what's intriguing is you look segment by segment, and it looks like, you know, in cars, maybe 10 of the 15 will become pricing. Manufactured goods, it looks at this moment like 5% will filter into pricing. Trucks and such, 6%. So the tariffs aren't all being passed on. You know, if they were 100% passed on, every price would go up 15%. but there are a group that are going up about half of that. Now, there's some where the price is going up and just matching the tariffs. The metals is a perfect example. There's not much substitution for the metals, the steel, the copper that is being imported. So that tariff tends to run dollar for dollar into the market. So it's a mixed picture. It depends on the opportunity for consumers to substitute. It also depends on the sellers' need to maintain market share. So the cheap clothing, you know, we're seeing some of the cheap clothing manufacturers just absorbing a lot of the tariffs rather than, that's what we call fast fashion, then lose market share. But the metal side, no, we're passing it on. We know you need it. You don't have an alternative, so tough luck. You're going to pay the tariff.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We were just talking about Chairman Powell's speech that he gave at Jackson Hole and whether or not the expectations for a rate decrease, maybe as much as 25 basis points, looks like it may be coming clearer that is being seriously contemplated by the Fed. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, and we're still waiting on Governor Jeff Landry. He is supposed to join us at some point this hour to talk about the Roseland plant explosion. Guy, let's move to the any other comments about Chairman Powell's speech that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think the biggest takeaway is he's moved towards sort of a balancing statement. More likely to cut rates, but not eager to do it because he's still very, very nervous about inflation. And he's watching that CPI cost go up. And so his real fear, if you inject him with truth serum, is stagflation. So that's an economist's worst nightmare, is when you have high inflation and a stagnant economy. And no central banker wants to do that. He's on his way out. In April will be his last meeting as chairman. And the last thing he wants is for his legacy to be ending in stagflation. So that's the fear that he has. And, you know, I don't envy him. It's a tough situation to be in because there are a lot of conflicting signals right now.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. So let's pivot. Health savings account changes coming down the pipe. Tell us about it.
Yeah. A health savings account is one of those little known benefits to the tax code. And what it does is it allows you to take money pre-tax and put it in a savings account just for health expenditures. Now, the condition is you have to have what's called a high deductible health insurance plan. And all the big insurers offer those. But what's happened is in the big, beautiful bill, they changed some of the options. And one of the things that they did is they said, look, we know some people are using the bronze plan under the Affordable Care Act. That counts as a high deductible plan. So you can now do that. The other thing they said is we know a lot of people are doing what's called concierge medicine, where you pay a subscription to a doctor in order to have access. And a lot of people will pay an annual fee, and then they'll have access to a doctor that they can call on the phone, do text messages. That's now eligible as an expenditure under the health savings account. But what a lot of people don't realize is a health savings account is in your name. It's almost like an extra IRA because it's pre-tax. When you take the money out, you're not going to pay any taxes, and you can use it for a broad array of health expenditures. And, you know, as you get older, inevitably you're going to have some health expenditures, whether it's a checkup, whether it's, you know, a fall where you need to cover the cost of that. So these changes are making it more attractive and create a better option for people to take advantage of the health savings account.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a health savings account and my mind just went blank. Is it a medical reimbursement
account? Medical savings account.
Medical savings account.
Yeah, this is not a use or lose. The other one you had to use before year end. Health savings just accrues and accumulates. So, and most of the plans pay interest, so you're getting, depending on where you have your health savings account, and most financial institutions offer them, you can get the health savings and have that accrue and pay interest. The other thing that's happened, and this is a positive that occurred out of COVID, there weren't many positives, but in the psychiatric field, they discovered that telehealth actually works. Certain patients that are having a psychiatric problem or a challenge or some sort of issue really want to be in the room with a counselor. They want to see the person. But for a number of people, they need the distance. The distance of doing effectively a Zoom call enables them to open up and talk to the counselor, talk to the psychiatrist, and that is now covered by HSA. So if you have a depression issue, if you have just any emotional issue that's challenging and you use telehealth, that's now available. And I've got friends that are in that business, and, you know, I talked to them about it, and I said, you know, this seemed a little bogus to me. And they said, look, it did to us as well, but we've discovered that little extra step enables people to open up, because some people have a problem that is so sensitive that they just feel awkward if in their same room with the counselor, but doing the telehealth actually works. And so I think that's a nice benefit, because for the folks that need that distance, you don't want them to miss out on getting the counseling they need.
Guy, folks are asking whether or not these health savings accounts can be employer sponsored. Typically they're not, right?
Correct. The employer has to have a health insurance plan with a high deductible component. But you, the individual, have to make the contribution into your plan. So it's a two-part plan. You have to have someone, either the Affordable Care Act bronze plan or an employer health plan. And most employers, including us at Gulf Coast Bank, offer both. You can have basically a normal deductible plan, you know, fee-for-service or a high-deductible plan. And the benefit of the high-deductible is it tends to be cheaper. It's more, you know, if you don't get sick much and you don't tend to use your health insurance, you pay less. And it really becomes more of a catastrophe insurance. So if something really goes wrong, yeah, then you'll use it. But otherwise, you just accumulate the money that you're putting into the HSA.
All right, let's pivot to HUD. They're making changes that may help create housing. Tell us about that program.
Yeah, you know, it's easy. And look, I've been guilty sometimes of just bashing the federal government and criticizing them. HUD, Housing and Urban Development, has been pretty easy to bash because...
Guy, if you don't mind, let us go to break because the governor's about to call in, and if you could just stand by and we'll get back to you. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we are rejoined with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, thank you for the accommodation. We're about ready to discuss HUD making some changes that may help create housing.
Yeah, it's great to see a federal program actually working and beginning to do what it's intended to do. HUD provides loan guarantees both for single family and multifamily. But particularly, I want to talk about multifamily because they're one of the biggest guarantors of multifamily mortgages for apartments. And they do this in both urban and rural areas, new construction and renovation. And what's happened is Scott Turner, the new head of HUD, asked his staff, he said, I want to see the regulations. And they presented him with effectively a phone book of rules. And then he told the staff, he said, how many of these are required by law? And they said, well, very few. He said, well, I want to weed out all of the regulations that are not required by law that we've just added through the years to make it difficult for developers to either develop new multifamily or to renovate. And so he's weeding out the old regulations. You know, we hear that a lot. And, you know, many people running for office, I'm going to streamline government and make it more efficient. Credit where credit's due. Scott Turner's actually doing it. I talked to multifamily developers last week, and they said it's really almost miraculous. We're seeing something that many people have promised, but it's occurring. So it's easier now, and this matters for Louisiana because we have a significant number of multifamily apartments in New Orleans East that are coming on the market. These are apartments that were purchased after Katrina. They were redeveloped. They're in good shape. They're looking good. But the owner is selling a portfolio of apartments. And if we don't have a good new buyer, that could be a challenge. Now, we also have some apartments that are owned by some groups that really just didn't do the right job in terms of maintenance. And so they need renovation loans. So we're going to have a demand for acquisition loans, for renovation loans. It's going to be easier because of these changes. The other thing that's important for us in Louisiana is in North Louisiana, we have the new Meta plant. There's nowhere near enough housing for workers. I mean, they're developing mobile home parks, man camps, but this will allow multifamily construction and provide quality permanent housing in rural areas that just didn't have that. The other thing he's done, and we talked about Chairman Powell cutting rates, HUD charges a guarantee fee. The guarantee had been 65 basis points. He cut that to 25. He said, I've been looking at our losses. We don't need that. It doesn't need to be that high. So that's 40 basis points. That's more than the 25 basis points that we've been talking about so extensively that the Federal Reserve is agonizing over. So nice to see somebody like in government do what they're supposed to do. And hats off to Scott Turner for what he's doing in multifamily.
And that's really important for us down here, right? Because of the affordable housing challenge that we have.
Oh, it's absolutely important. And, you know, we have a number of apartments that need to be redeveloped. You know, we had just some outlaw apartment owners like Josh Bruno that, you know, were slumlords on a grand scale, his apartments either need to be renovated or torn down. And this program will provide an option for a developer to come in and totally renovate, because absent that, they'll have to come down, and then you have an even greater shortage of apartments.
And obviously, there are certain sectors of the city that present more difficult challenges to overcome with the redevelopment of some of these multifamily properties as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, age really works against multifamily. If you don't have a continual maintenance program, the multifamily can deteriorate, and then it becomes very difficult. I mean, they're high-end developers like Favreau and Shane. They maintain their properties all the time. And, you know, they're not a problem. They're good occupancy, good maintenance, you know, good opportunity. But there are other developers that don't have those deep pockets, that don't care. And then you end up with someone that'll buy a property, and we've had some nonprofits buy, particularly apartments in the East, that just didn't maintain them the way they were supposed to. And then you get a step down where the apartments aren't that attractive, so then your tenant pool gets a little worse. You know, the tenants with better credit, better quality, better incomes won't rent there. And then the spiral gets worse. Then you end up with deferred maintenance. Then you end up with crime. Then you end up with uninhabited units. And this program, the HUD programs, can turn that around with a total rehab. So it guarantees a complete renovation of existing properties and at a reduced cost from what it was just a few months ago.
Guy, let's pivot once again kind of along these lines, because they do a lot of this financing as well with HUD. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, there was a lot of talk about privatization of SAME. Any new information there?
None yet. A lot of people are concerned. There are a number of hedge funds that bought stock in Fannie and Freddie, and the question is, are you delivering a windfall to investors that don't deserve it? What many people forget is during the financial crisis, the losses at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were bigger than the losses at banks. That was the biggest financial catastrophe, and the government had to step in to save those entities because they had guaranteed loans that didn't get repaid. They guaranteed a lot of second home and third home loans and really strayed from their mission. I mean, one of the challenges, they were intended to provide single family financing. And then the logic became, well, maybe it'd be okay if they did second home. People get a vacation house. And okay, you can sort of understand that. And then it was, well, what if people want to build wealth and have investment homes? And I think that really became a bridge too far. It would make more sense to say, you know, if you want to buy investment real estate, just finance it with a regular lender, not a government guaranteed lender. And Fannie and Freddie have always been pressured by the politicians on both sides of the aisle to relax their underwriting standards. The challenge in 2008 is that everything that involved good underwriting, Fannie and Freddie were pressed to reduce. Okay, a down payment, that's hard for people to save. Let's make the down payment small or non-existent. And in some cases, you had zero down payment. Credit score, well, some people have bad credit. Let's finance people with very low credit scores. That we know the effect of credit scores, that leads to a real uptick in default. So when you get rid of credit scores, when you get rid of down payments, and then the last was they said, well, you know, the income requirements are sort of challenging. We're going to do stated income and let people just tell us what they make and we'll trust them. Well, at that point, you have no income, no down payment, no credit score. We called them ninja loans, and they defaulted in droves, and Fannie and Freddie went broke. So if they do get sold into the private market, we need to make sure they don't do that again.
It'll be interesting to see where that goes. Again, thank you for the accommodation today. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good to be with you.
Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about whether or not people are disappointed that the Saints didn't do better in the preseason. Are you excited about the opening season? Also, we will start...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.